Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Informant. This is News for the Soul.
Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul. Be open in your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Hey, this is Dave Morehouse, and you're listening to News for the Soul.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you're listening. I'm Nicole Whitney, and you found it, News for the Soul. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And we're here. So good to be here, and so good to be talking to all of you. We'll be back in a moment with our interview.
Did you know that News for the Soul is home to the largest totally free life-changing audio resource on the World Wide Web? And did you know that journalist and single mom Nicole Whitney is single-handedly making this freely available for you to hear? That's why your support is critical to help keep News for the Soul totally free. You can help in several ways. Firstly, you can tell everyone you know about News for the Soul. So many people out there still do not know about this totally free life-changing resource. So do us, yourself, and your friends a favor and pass it on today. Secondly, financial support for News for the Soul helps keep the show going. Whether it's through advertising, donations, or purchases of our exclusive audio and video packages, like the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, which will teach you how to bend metal with your mind for real. This support helps keep us on the air. Go to newsforthesoul.com now to find out more. We invite you to help us help the world. And thanks for tuning in. It's listeners like you who have made News for the Soul the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL. Together, we are already making a difference in our world. So thank you for listening, and thanks in advance for your support. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. I'm Nicole Whitney, your host for the hour, and my guest, Mike Dooley, who many of you now know from The Secret and others know from Totally Unique Thoughts, the retail line of unique inspirational gifts that has evolved into regional chain of stores and such that we're going to be talking to Mike about today. You can find him online at tut.com, standing for Totally Unique Thoughts, of course, and it's all linked off of newsforthesoul.com. And if you miss any of the show today, which is August 27th, Monday, 2007, already, man, it's almost fall, can't believe it. Go to newsforthesoul.com later. All shows are all free, all the time. Every show we've ever done is all free, all the time. So go there, newsforthesoul.com later. But now, don't go anywhere, because Mike Dooley is here. Welcome, Mike Dooley, to News for the Soul.
Jambo, Nicole, great to be with you.
Jambo. Okay.
Jambo.
What is Jambo?
That's our adventurer's greeting at the Adventurer's Club at Tut.com. It's just a little hook or excitement for the fact that there is a club, that there is membership, and the Adventurer's Club, though unexpectedly perhaps to most, is not about finding lost continents, but it's about the adventure of life, living in the jungles of time and space and how to make the most of it. And so it's fun, and Jambo is our official greeting.
Well, that does sound like fun. So what kind of club is it then? Like, what do you actually do at your club?
Well, it's still in the process of growing. We're about 7 years old right now, celebrating our seventh birthday. And the vision includes a lot more than it is today. Ultimately, there will be lots of real-world adventures, you know, whether it's hot air ballooning or cruises to Hawaii, and that's already on the drawing board, or an annual convention, etc., so people can meet face-to-face, flesh-to-flesh. But moreover, all of the members take a somewhat lighthearted, playful oath in the beginning, which entitles them to receive their daily notes from the universe, which is a staple of membership. But the premise is that everybody involved, everybody that's a member, believes that living in the jungles of time and space as a creator amongst our own creations is the ultimate adventure, filled with romance and suspense and mystery, and best of all, the ability to deliberately live our lives, to watch our thoughts become the things and events of our lives.
Now, on The Secret, that was your main message, mm-hmm. was that thoughts are things.
Thoughts become things.
Okay.
Right?
So thoughts aren't things, but they become things, but they're
well,
not things.
Well, no, it's often used interchangeably, because I learned later, Ernest Holmes, one of the founders of the New Thought movement in the early 1900s, wrote a book called Thoughts Are Things, and he is, I believe, credited with actually launching what became Unity Churches, that thrive to this day, and Science of Mind Churches. And the premise is, in both schools of thinking, that we are creators, and we create through our thoughts, and that there's actually a science about it. In other words, that there are absolute principles in reality that we can either become aware of and use, or get batted about by. And so when I was, you know, developing my Adventures Club, and earlier than that, when we were doing T-shirts and gifts that had lots of philosophical statements on them, one of the ones I came up with was, thoughts become things. Now, I'm not claiming I'm the first person who ever used those three words together, but I wasn't aware of anybody else doing it, and so it's become the motto of our club, thoughts become things. I think that describes more clearly kind of the action element of our thinkings. Our thoughts have a consequence. It could be a beautiful consequence or a painful consequence, but thoughts become things, and this shows us where we fit into the equation of reality creation, because we get to choose our thoughts. This principle explains fully how we have indeed been given dominion over all things. And it's a bit different than thoughts are things, because they're both. Both are true, but for us it's thoughts become things.
Okay, well, thank you for clarifying. Now, why don't we find out a little bit about your story personally, because I know each one of us has such an interesting ride to arrive to a place of consciously living their lives. So were you always aware that your thoughts became things?
Well, I think for me, you know, the searching for answers began when I was an early teenager, maybe even 12, 13 years old, is when I was kind of on this crazed search for answers, you know, because for me, family didn't have them, society didn't have them, and the church I belonged to didn't give me answers that made any sense. So I was reading books on the fringe with, you know, ESP stories or past life stories or, you know, anything from UFOs to Bigfoot, and that led to, finally, you know, when we're on a mission and we believe we can get to the end result, you know, we do. And for me, it attracted the right books at the right times, usually through my mother, who's an avid reader. And by the time I was 20, I would say that I found the answers, all of the answers that I was looking for, and I would say answers to the most vexing questions of humanity. But from that day forward, you know, I was in college at the University of Florida, from that day forward, it became a matter of living the truth. Instead of seeking it or just, you know, wanting to find it, it was a matter of, okay, I found the truth, I am a creator, it's all about thought, belief, imagination, intent, expectation. That's the end-all, be-all with no mitigating factors. That's still my belief today. And so from 20 on, it was a matter of incorporating it into my life. And so, you know, I used it poorly in college. I kept thinking, you know, well, when I get out of college, I'm going to use this stuff, you know. But life has a tendency, you know, the walls kind of close in, and you become hypnotized, if you will, by the illusions being time, space, and matter, matter being inclusive of circumstances and events. And we become reactors instead of, you know, deliberate initiators. So I nearly got fired from my first job in the real world at Price Waterhouse until I realized the dire thoughts I was thinking, the fear that was running rampant in my system, and so that's when I first applied this kind of knowledge, and I began with visualizing, and visualizing did turn my career around profoundly and rapidly. I ended up being switched into the tax department, which at first was scary, but you know, worked wonders, and that's kind of an example of how, you know, let the universe deal with the house. You know, I couldn't even have predicted I might be transferred into the tax department, but through a sequence of coincidences, I was, at which point my career took off. I was assigned overseas, traveling and living internationally, and my little story that I usually tell, it's at my website, is, you know, when I first started visualizing and saw the success at work, I created a scrapbook 20 years ago, which is, you know, the equivalent of a vision board. And in that scrapbook, I put pictures of things I wanted and places I wanted to go. And just 2 years later, my heart nearly skipped a beat having breakfast at the Regent Hotel in Kowloon, Hong Kong, when directly in front of me, through the two-story plate glass windows surrounding me, was the exact same view of Hong Kong Island that I had cut and pasted into my little scrapbook as a struggling accountant in Tampa, Florida. And suddenly I'm an international, consultant. And it was shocking how swiftly my life changed when I did finally start incorporating it, taking the initiative instead of being batted about by the illusions. That led to 6 more great years of Price Waterhouse. I then quit and became an entrepreneur. My brother, mother, and I sold 1 million t-shirts of our own brand and did fantastically well. And then 7 years ago, with the trends declining, it was time to reinvent myself again. And so I got into writing full-time and speaking. And the last 7 years have been the most mind-blowing of my life. You know, as I write a daily note from the universe, that's received by now 160,000 people 5 days a week. And I've got audio programs, books, deals with publishers, and lots and lots of exotic travel.
So
that's how I got where I am today.
Which sounds like an amazing adventure. I'm curious as to the visualization that you did at the beginning with the scrapbook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you enlighten us a little bit about exactly how you did it? I mean, how much, how long,
sure.
Know, how
yeah,
intently.
I talk about that at length now, and it's a great question. Everything I talk about is based on a knowable fundamental principle in reality. Thoughts become things. And that's the most important starting point. You know, I'll talk about visualizing in 2 seconds, but without a grounding and an understanding of what reality is made up of, how we got here, why we're here, and what we can do with it, you're not operating on full cylinders, you know, everything is not firing, because all of a sudden if you think that there's other elements, be them fate or karma or destiny or some god outside of you that also has power in your life, then you don't have power. And then visualizing could be kind of a slingshot kind of approach that might work sometimes, doesn't work other times. It's imperative that people understand that they are creators, and when it comes to their life and their happiness, not just co-creators. They're it, the Mac Daddy. So with that as the starting point, then anything that helps you think thoughts along the lines of your beliefs is a winner. I should say, think thoughts along the lines of your dreams. Anything, whether it's a mantra or a scrapbook or a visualization board, is a super powerful tool. And for me, a scrapbook was just pictures from magazines like Architectural Digest, Town and Country, that had the ability to make me think like, wow, you know, being in Hong Kong, what would that be like? You know, being in London, having a creative, fulfilling career that made it all possible, living in abundance, having lots of friends. And so these pictures weren't the end-all and be-all of my joy in my life, but they helped me think thoughts along the lines of my wildest dreams coming true. And so once I selected them all, and you can do all kinds of creative things. You know, you can put in your favorite quotes on every other page, you know, from Thoreau to Einstein to whatever kind of reminds you of your power and like, oh, yeah, I love that one. And you can put pictures of yourself in a scrapbook, you know, of high points in your life, of victories in your life, of you with great friends. And anything, again, that gets you in that place is fair game. So my scrapbook had those pictures and quotes and little lists of my name, you know, along the lines of, you know, well, there's Bill Gates and there's Donald Trump and there's Richard Branson. And then, of course, there's Mike Dooley. And just that little list and seeing my name amongst those lists, that list of people, was just empowering. And the list was much longer than that. But, again, it all plays to thoughts becoming things. The guidelines I give to anybody when it comes to visualizing, formal visualizing, you know, think happy thoughts, you know, whenever you want, you know, no problem, even thoughts of your dreams coming true. But when it comes to sitting down in a quiet room, perhaps in a favorite chair at a certain time of day, you know, I call that getting formal about it, you know, just like we do with brushing our teeth. You know, there's a place in the house to do it, there's utensils to do it. When it comes to visualizing, I strongly advocate getting a little timer, like a kitchen egg timer. You know, it counts down from 5 minutes to zero or 10 minutes to zero. The buzzer goes off, and then you're done until tomorrow. So one time a day is the first guideline I offer to anybody who's about to start visualizing. If you do it, there's lots of reasons not to do it more than one time a day in a formal capacity. Second guideline, don't do it longer than 5 or 10 minutes, because number one, you're going to daydream and get mad at yourself and claim that you can't do it. You must have adult ADD and blah, 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 blah. And number two, the more compelling reason is it's not necessary. Once you've got that picture in your mind of the end result, the impression has been made. You know, life's magic or the universe knows what the target is. Let it go. Completely drop it from your thinking. Go out and be appreciative of who you already are and all you already have, and enjoy the journey with a glad heart, knowing that you've done your little part one time a day, 5 or 10 minutes. Some other guidelines I usually throw out there, be sure to put yourself in the picture. Be there. It's not enough to kind of just drool over the vision board, but close your eyes and see yourself inside those pictures, walking those halls, in that home, in your pool, in that car, with your friends, you know, with your, you know, hand in hand with somebody, or walking down the beach. You must be there physically, you know, in your mind's eye. Another thing, put in all kinds of details, you know, hear the surf crashing, the seagulls crying, smell the salt in the air. These things have little to do with your real intents, but they have everything to do with making the picture more real in your mind. And the ultimate detail to put in that, in your mind's eye, is you feeling the emotion. Emotion is the turbo charger. If you want something fast in your life, this is how you do it. This is step one. Feel the joy. Feel the happiness. Feelings are what we're really after. That's why anybody would want $1 million. That's why somebody would want a new relationship, better health, pain-free living. It's all about you ultimately finding happiness. So put that in the picture. It bypasses the cursed hows. And we'll talk about those in a second. Other guidelines, well, I think the next guideline is the doozy. It goes against everything we've ever kind of heard about, you know, making progress in life. And that is, when you're visualizing, dwell exclusively upon the end result or beyond. Never, ever, ever entertain thoughts of how you're going to get there. You know, if you want $1 million, no problem. There's nothing unspiritual about that. But don't be visualizing you writing the book that's going to be becoming a bestseller. Don't be visualizing you closing the deal on the property or the contract. Don't visualize you going through the motions of how you're going to get it. The hows are the domain of the universe. If we mess with that, we tie its hands and we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, completely demonstrating a disbelief or a misunderstanding of how things really work. Our job, perhaps our most important job, is to clearly define the end result. So when we're visualizing, we're already in that home. We're already with those friends. We already have the perfect body or whatever it is that we're after. Nothing is going to be reflective of how you're going to get there. Okay, so that's so big because we've been told literally since children that, you know, if you don't figure out how you're going to do that young lady or young man, or, you know, you're reckless, you're negligent, you're irresponsible, you know. And so we're told, plus our physical senses, we rely on them almost exclusively until now, we feel like there's no other alternative but for us to wrangle with the hows. Yet that is perhaps reason number one that people spin their wheels and don't get forward, because they're getting in the way of the universe. They're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. Those are my 6 guidelines. Generally, there's 6 for visualizing. I think I combined a couple of them there, but that's how I did it. So for 5 or 10 minutes, no more, I looked at my scrapbook, looked at all the details, closed my eyes, and then I was inside those pictures living the life of my dreams.
So what did you do for all the other minutes of the day? I mean, did you go back to being in the moment?
Well, that's a great point, and it speaks to something that's often misunderstood. It's then incumbent upon all of us, once we've clearly chosen and decided and imagined the end result, it's incumbent upon all of us to physically move in the general direction of our dreams. It's not enough to have the vision board and think those thoughts and then wait on your couch for Oprah to call. You know, that doesn't work. Oprah is only calling if you're out and about and you have something to talk about. Now, this creates some confusion because some people will say, well, you know, you've said don't mess with the cursed howls, yet you're telling me I must physically move in the general direction of my dreams. Is this a contradiction? And the answer is, the thing that distinguishes a cursed howl is not what you're doing, but how you're viewing what you're doing. And the analogy I use is, if you view yourself as the home run hitter, because now you know about the law of attraction, now you know you're a spiritual being of light, you know, if you view yourself as the one who's going to hit the home run with the tasks that are before you, it's a cursed how. If, however, you view yourself as the pitcher in a game that includes the universe, and it's the universe who hits the home run, then you don't sweat the pitches. Then you know you've got an able, willing, all-compassionate partner conspiring on your behalf, a partner who is powerless to reach you if you're not pitching. Pitching signifies our going out into the world. It doesn't matter so much what you do as that you do something. If you view as the things you do as how the universe is going to get in the game, then you realize that the more you do, the more opportunities the universe has to reach you, which is not a call to work 7 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, 60 hours a week, you know. It's not about working more, it's about working smarter. You know, whether it's 2 hours a day that you dedicate to your part-time job, or 10 hours because you feel like a pig in mud and you just love what you do and it's not work to you, that's irrelevant. But you must use that time wisely, and you must understand that there's a relationship between you and life's magic. Your thoughts instantly, when you define that end result and visualize, create that world that you've dreamed of. It exists, and all that remains is for life's magic is to kind of weave circumstances, coincidences, and serendipities together so that as you go through your life, one person will lead to another person, will lead to a great idea, and then the circumstances, if you will, are the parameters of the two realities, your present versus the future reality that exists, can be effortlessly sewn together by the universe when you're moving. And it'll always be through these so-called, you know, accidents, coincidences, and serendipities, which, of course, there's no such thing as those things. Those things are forced by us having an end result and then going out into the world in its general, we don't have to be specific, in its general direction, because then the universe can put these, you know, accidents on your path that could not happen if you're just sitting at home staring at your vision board. So now some might say, well, is that a contradiction on another front? You know, are you saying, well, thoughts become things, but then you have to take action, and then your words are important? Look, our words and our actions are nothing but thought with enough intensity that they've been blurted out of our mouth, or with enough intensity that they've thrown us into motion. So this is all about thoughts becoming things. But for the person who thinks the happy thoughts for 5 minutes a day and then sits on their couch for 23 hours a day, there are some other thoughts going on that either contradict the dream, you know, fear, doubt, worry, messing with a cursed house, or there's a profound misunderstanding of the nature of reality that leads them to think they have to do nothing. Now, the stuff we do doesn't have to be painful. It's not about blood, sweat, and tears. It's about just being available to the universe, going out with a glad heart, going to your normal job, perhaps, and making the cold calls like your peers do, joining the Leeds groups or the Rotary Club or Toastmasters just like your peers do. But you would have an advantage understanding the nature of reality, so you don't have to turn those things into cursed howls. They're just pitches to the universe. It may or may not hit each one of those balls over the fence, but you can rest assured that if you're doing what you know to do, thinking what you know to think, saying what you know to say, eventually it has to. It's the way life works. It's an absolute. Our thoughts become things.
Now, what's your take on subconscious blocks or self-sabotage, these seemingly unseen realms that are involved in this?
That's another super question. You're good at this. Thank you, Nicole. Mm-hmm. I think far too much energy and importance is placed on those things. And I'll clarify. The bottom line is, with thoughts becoming things, the only thing that stands between you or the listener and the life of their dreams are the thoughts they think between now and then. And too often that same question is raised by people in an audience that I address. You know, what about my baggage? What about the sabotaging I might be doing? What about, you know, the 30 or 40 or 60 years of hogwash that I've had crammed down my throat, you know? Is this going to derail my dream? Never. You know, our conscious thoughts are more powerful than unconscious thoughts, first off. Secondly, contrary to Freud's beliefs, my feeling and my life has shown me that the subconscious is not a deep, dark dungeon filled with unpleasant thoughts, you know, filled with programming that's out to get you. It's not like there's this alter ego that's going to sabotage you. You can watch yourself. You know, are you moving in the general direction of your dreams? Do you have an end result? If so, that screams louder to the universe than life's magic of your positivity. And we're all far more positive than we give ourselves credit for. You know, I used to ask those same kind of questions. People still ask me, Mike, how do you stay positive when you're feeling negative? You just do your best. It will always be enough, particularly you'll be emboldened with an understanding of the nature of reality. And for the people who have perhaps a crisis going on in their life, because I'm not, you know, exempt from those. I'm every bit the adventurer, the student, the explorer that all the listeners are right now. If you've got a crisis going on in your life, and, you know, for me, you know, there's been the major crisis. I thought I was going to get fired at Pricewaterhouse. You know, personal relationships have come undone when it's the last thing I felt like I wanted. There are times when we cannot stop that runaway train of negative thinking. You know, we're arguing with that person unceasingly in our mind. We're justifying ourselves. You know, but you can't be real. You can't think that this is fair. You can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you lied or whatever. And I found in my life there are times when I cannot stop that train. But I equally found that I can always start a new train running. So while that train is running down the track, I can say, okay, you go ahead, run. You're going to do what you're going to do. I see the futility in it, but I can't stop you. But I can sit down and visualize for 5 or 10 minutes as if this whole problem, this whole challenge was in my past. And in my cases, when the crisis was severe enough, even during my 5 or 10 minute visualization, those unpleasant negative thoughts would intrude. But I kept doing it. So commingled with my, you know, rosy view of reality for 5 or 10 minutes a day were these unpleasant thoughts, but I still did it. And I still moved in the general direction of my dreams. I still behaved in spite of circumstances that surrounded me. Because circumstances that now surround us are nothing more than yesterday's end results, yesterday's journeys, deliberate or not. And they will go away, they will give way to your present thoughts and your present ambitions, intentions, and actions. So for me, I remember I used to worry about being fired so severely that during my visualizations, you know, this is 20 years ago at Pricewaterhouse, I would see the pink slip. I would imagine getting the phone call. And I was so freaked out and so unhappy with life. I used to think, I was never suicidal, but I used to think walking by the, you know, the 30th story window, wouldn't it be just so wonderful to jump out that thing and put this stuff to rest, you know, because I wanted to escape my life so badly. Not to the point of suicide, but that's how much of a crisis it was in my life. Yet in spite of that, in spite of 3 horrific evaluations, in spite of no light at the end of the tunnel, I visualized. And I acted as if things were working out. I acted to the best of my ability in little humble ways, sometimes just myself in the mirror talking in a conversation or pretending to proudly walk up and down the halls of Pricewaterhouse as if I was just, you know, the big man on campus. And in spite of worrying about it, 18 of my conscious hours a day, you know, my non-sleeping hours a day, and only visualizing for 5 minutes a day, and those little acts of faith, it was enough to turn the tide. And I have seen that again and again and again. My life is full of it. And I think, there's several reasons for this. One, we are more positive than we give ourselves credit for. We're infinitely more positive. You know, we tend to freak out when we have negative, worrisome thoughts. But for the fact that we eat, sleep, and breathe, that we're alive in this paradise, speaks volumes about our positivity and the likelihood for happiness and success. And furthermore, understanding the nature of reality, we then see ourselves as creators. We are creators. We are not afterthoughts. We're not, you know, it wasn't like some omniscient deity created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then, you know, we drew lots to see who would go there, you know, and have a 50-50 chance of happiness or success. It's like, no, we were fashions or sparks of this divine omniscience that created this. We were instrument and integral, I should say, in the creation. We created this paradise for us, and whether or not we remember that is irrelevant. we did, and we can get to that through deductive reasoning, but that's a whole other tangent. But as the creators of this bastion of perfection, it's already as if all of the cards are tilted in our favor. And I think anybody listening to this can look at their life and realize, you know, however trying it's been at times, they were and still are more likely to smile than frown as each day unfolds, more likely to laugh than cry, more likely to have money than not have any money, more likely to be healthy than ill. And it's because we're inclined to success. Our default levels, if you will, are abundance. Our default level is joy. Our default level is happiness and friends and all of these things that so many people aspire to. It's their birthright. And so if we just do the little things we know to do with an understanding of the nature of reality, meaning visualize step one, an end result, and step two, just go out into the world in its general direction, even though we can't see how our steps will help bring it about. If we just do what we know to do, it will always be enough. And people not knowing the nature of reality, you know, 1 week or 2 months into their journey, we're like, well, nothing's changed. It's not working. Something must be wrong with me. I must be sabotaging myself. And those kind of statements bring those realities to bear. And so the person who says I can't lose weight, or the person who says I can't crack the money nut, that kind of declaration on the plane of manifestation becomes fact. And it's true. They can't lose weight because they've been saying that, not because of any other reason or subconsciousness or past lives or, you know, we have the ultimate trump card that blows away negativity, past lives, karma, contracts, and that is the freedom to choose our thoughts in the moment.
Well, and that's why I asked you what you do with the other minutes, because so it's good to know that it's possible that the 5 minutes can counteract the other entire day
right.
of counteractive thoughts. But what about if, well, you use the weight example, so let's run with that. Let's say someone is focusing, doing their visualization, taking action, inspired action throughout the remainder of their day and not having results.
My answer is they are having results. Their conclusion of not having results is based upon their physical senses alone. Physical senses are big time liars. It does work. It always works. Every single day you're getting closer. But for the conclusion drawn that it's not working, it will not work. It cannot work. And so what else to do with your life? Well, generally, most people listening to this, you know, unless they're in that patch of their life where maybe they don't have a job or they're starting over, most people, and I can speak to them in a second, most people already have a life. They have a job. Maybe they hate their job, but they've got stuff to do. And so in the rest of your day, you start you know, number one, what your new end result is. You know that by moving in the general direction of it, that things are going to have to start giving. And then you do your best to enjoy your journey. You're grateful for the few pennies or the few friends that you do have. You're grateful for the health that you do possess. And you start using it. You know, you go out a little bit more. You start interacting a little bit more. Join a social club. At first, these things aren't easy, you know, but you know, doing something is always better than doing nothing. And you can't do nothing, or you can't just live the same old life and think that your life is going to change. You know, you have to approach it differently. Master what's before you. That's the best way to free yourself from it. You know, that doesn't mean there doesn't come a time to quit the job. I mean, I did that. But I had clarity when I quit my job at Pricewaterhouse 6 years after I had that turmoil. And by that time I was, you know, living in Boston. And I knew, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I had abundance, enough abundance to coast for a couple of years and start something fresh. And I knew at least what I didn't want to do, and that was stay at my job. So sometimes we don't have a whole lot to go on, but we can still do something. And so while I feel like I mastered it, my career, my tax consulting at Pricewaterhouse, it brought me no joy. And so I quit, you know, making sure that I had the green light internally. It felt right, although it was kind of weird. Everybody's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm going to do something. And when I hit the ground in Orlando, Florida, you know, almost 18 years ago, I hit it running. And I knocked on doors, and I turned over stones. And that was me pitching balls to the universe. I went to franchise fairs. I dabbled with creative writing. Before long, me and my brother, who's an artist, we teamed up and we launched a T-shirt company. You know, and then the first few years literally were tough going. But the third year was just like pay dirt, and the heavens opened up, and, you know, I could have said a year into that, 18 months into that, it's not working, I must have invisible limiting self-sabotage. No, it always works. You know, that doesn't mean you can't adjust your sales. You should adjust your sales. Try a new approach. Try new vendors. Try new sales targets, you know. But I was always doing something, and it was with regard to mastering what was before me, and I wasn't drawing false conclusions that it's not working, because it always works. It's just a matter of give it more time. And one last thought on that. You know, I often say, both in the career I have, excuse me, now as a writer-speaker, and when we were launching the T-shirt gift company, both of them took years. That's a long time when you're looking for rapid change. Both of them took years to get going. In fact, at the beginning of that, those two journeys, if someone had said, you know, God had spoken or something through the clouds and said, Mike, you know, stay on track, because it's going to be 3 years before you really see money coming in, and it's going to be 6 years before you're rolling in it, I would have just wanted to curl up and die. Like, 3 years, you know, 6 years. But in hindsight, when you get to that place where you're living the end result, you're living your wildest dreams, it so wildly exceeds what you thought it would be like in terms of joy and freedom and new friends that, you know, for the life I have right now, you know, it took, well, let's just say it took 7 years, you know, things were clicking really around the 3 and 4 year mark like crazy. But if it took 7 years, knowing what I now know about how good it can be living life and living your dreams, it would have been worth any number of years. It would have been worth 10 years. It would have been worth 20 years. You know, and so the thing is that makes all of the time passing palatable and even enjoyable is choosing directions to go down with to the best of your ability that you feel like you could enjoy a day's worth of work. You know, for me it was creative writing in the beginning 7 years ago, and while that was not a dream come true, it was kind of the least of the unattractive of other unattractive paths I could go down. I was like, well, let me dabble with that. And then right away I started getting feelings like, there's something, I like this, you know, and people are liking it. I'm not making a penny, but I'm liking it. And there's, you know, I had some, again, I had some ability to coast. You know, I had created some ability to coast before I made some of these major life changes. And then when we were launching the T-shirt gift business, you know, selling T-shirts and gifts was not a dream come true, but I felt it was very palatable. I yearned to be an entrepreneur, and I used to tell people, I don't care what the heck I sell. I just want to have something to sell. And so sometimes when we don't know exactly what to do, we don't, you know what our bliss is going to be. I mean, I can relate. That's happened to me 3 careers. Again, just doing something, you know, pick the least unattractive of the other unattractive results. Just getting out into the world, the universe is going to reach you. So, in a manner of speaking, it'll tap you on your shoulders. You know, you'll meet a new person who gives you a new idea. One thing will lead to another. And in both of those careers, the gift business and writing, it was as if all of a sudden, you know, I was so busy knocking on doors, turning over stones, making headway in the general direction of my dreams, though nothing I did was a dream come true. I was so engrossed by it, being busy in those other hours of the day that I wasn't visualizing, that I almost lost track of time. And the next thing you know is you look up at your life a few years later and you're like, oh my God, you know, how did I get to be here? How did this happen? You know, I'm living my dreams. And you look for the point in your life in the recent past where the scales were tipped and the critical mass achieved, and you can't find it because there was no single day. It was this evolution that was enabled by, number one, an end result, and number two, moving in its general direction. And that gives the universe freedom to reach into your life and start performing miracles that are invisible until long afterwards. And so for the person who tries to interpret their success with their physical senses and draws the conclusion that it's not working, well, it's because the physical senses don't reveal the miracles that are now happening in all of our lives. And if you're playing this 1-2 formula of end result, move in its direction, I guarantee you the entire cosmos is being reprogrammed based on this new end result, and it's going to be a matter of time, though, before you can physically see it with your eyes. That doesn't mean it's not happening.
So to summarize, not only are we letting go of the hows, we're letting go of the whens and believing full on it is always working, period, the end, over and out.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. Which, again, to, you know, there's a million places someone could kind of run into a little bit of understanding, but nothing is simpler than thoughts becoming things. But again, one thing I see when people kind of understand reality is they'll write one book and they'll insist that this book needs to become a bestseller. And so what they don't realize, you know, because thoughts become things, they've moved in the general direction of their dreams, they've written a book, and so they're knocking on doors for years and years and years and years and years and years with this one book and this one thing. All of a sudden the book has become a cursed how to something else. So while I say totally, don't worry about the hows, always be giving the universe another ball to hit. You know, the only reason somebody should write a book is because they like writing. If they were writing so they could become a millionaire best-selling author, then they were messing with the cursed house in the beginning, and it was not clearly defined end results in itself. It was a how to get somewhere else, and so they've got wires crossed, and then they're clinging to it because they watch The Secret, they know about the law of attraction, and really and truly they're kidding themselves about a lot of things. Someone should only write if they love it. And if they love it, they should write one book and an article and another book and another article and do an interview and go to the book fairs and contact agents, and they should be knocking on all of those doors, giving the universe the opportunity to reach them. And because they enjoy writing, then it's not a matter of, oh, I hate my life and how did this happen to me? They're doing something that they liked. And so absolutely pitch the cursed house, but don't end up knocking on one door only. Knock on all the doors. Turn over all the stones in the hours that you allocate for that objective each week.
So I'm always curious about this next thing that I'm going to ask, because I've asked it in a lot of different ways over the years, because I really want to know the answer. You know, okay. Knowing what we know now, what we've covered so far in the show, where is the limit of what we can and cannot do?
Oh, well, good question, and you know the answer to that. It's almost an answer we're afraid to believe in.
Exactly.
There is no limit. Everything is arbitrary. You know, whether it's a dollar figure or joy and love in our relationships, there is absolutely no limit. And the thing that makes people think that there could be limits is not understanding the nature of reality, thinking that some things are to be left to fate, some things are to be left in the hands of some god outside of themselves, thinking that, oh, maybe this life I chose not to be wealthy so I could experience poverty or lack. It's like BS, BS, BS across the board. We have a totally clean slate before us. I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe in quote-unquote contracts, but they're not binding. I believe in all of these other things, karma, that people speak to, but none of them trump our ability to think new thoughts. And thoughts have to become things. And so it's not as if there's some regulator or some governor on the throttle that's gonna kind of undercut us. If we have the audacity to dream it and the nerve to move in its general direction, even though we can't see with our physical senses how it could ever add up, if we can do those two things, it does come to pass.
So when I said limits, you know, let's say I've decided I'm going to live forever or live for 1 million years, or, you know, beyond the realm of what we think of as real in our reality.
Well, those kind of questions start hitting tangents that, by and large, while fascinating, and I'll talk to them in a second, by and large, those kind of things are irrelevant. Like somebody could say, well, okay, no limits. I'd like to be the first person to be a zillionaire. You know, you said no limits. Can I be a zillionaire? Well, yes, you could be a zillionaire. And yes, we all do live forever. But what does that have to do with you being happy now? It's not about a zillion bucks or a new Lamborghini, although you can have those things. It's about each one of us enjoying the present moment. And so that's why after you visualize, you come back to the present moment, you master what's before you, and you move in the general direction of the end results that you've chosen. So it's a fair question, and it's relevant, but very often, and it's fascinating to talk about those kind of things in multiple dimensions and energy vortexes and the grid, and those things do exist. They have a place, but so often, you know, whether it's quantum physics or something else, people will get sidetracked and lose vision of what it is they most would like to do with their life now, lose and go on these tangents and kind of put these tangents or mastering quantum physics or understanding quantum physics in front of them and feel like that that's something they need to deal with before they can be happy. It's like, look, your thoughts already become things. You don't even have to learn how to make them become things. They're doing it now so we can find happiness now. But as far as living forever, you know, you're probably on the same boat as me. I mean, or maybe, I don't know. But we are eternal. We do live forever. Time is an illusion. It's not even bedrock reality. There are countless other realities that we can live in. But we have crafted the parameters of time and space, and incidentally, because it is fascinating, my interpretation is they're one and the same. You can't have time without space. You can't have space without time. It's one thing, but yet it's measured by two indices. They are illusions that make possible the amnesia that we've now chosen, that make possible the emotions we now feel. If you, you know, if you were in a place that's closer to bedrock reality, if you will, and you already knew of your divinity, and you already knew of your omniscience, and you already knew that you were a creator, hands down, you know, there would not be any such thing as any single human emotion we now possess. Those are the real fruits of living in the jungles of time and space, you know, and those are all made possible by the illusions of time and space. So if time is an illusion, and we came before time, which we did, we are eternal. And that creates other, you know, tangents. But, you know, perhaps that's kind of gets to your question.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it does. And, you know, that's the thing. I like how you brought it back to the present and to the now, and because that is one of the ways we can kind of get out there. And when we're out there, we're not down here. So,
yeah, exactly.
We're just about 2 minutes to the top of the hour, but I wanted to get this last question in, just find out if you were surprised about the success of The Secret, what it was like to be in The Secret, and how it's been going for you since then.
Okay, no, I'm not, in one hand, not at all surprised about the success of it, you know, because my root belief is that the whole world is waking up. Whether it's the age of Aquarius, I don't know anything about Zodiac, or whether it's whatever, it's clear and evident if you just look around that people are waking up to spirit, if you will. Spirit without the trappings, in my opinion, of religion. You know, spirit, unbounded spirit and our true nature. So for me, it was inevitable that people were going to get to the stage. But again, I would never cling to a cursed how. I would never say this book is going to be the spark or this movie is going to be the spark. It felt good, but I never knew how masterfully they were putting it together. You know, I only know my part when I was interviewed. We all interviewed individually. And the feeling that Rhonda and her sister put out was just overwhelming. Their goal was joy to billions. You know, an emotional end result, leaving the house to the universe. There was no script in The Secret. Everybody just kind of freewheeled. And they then kind of did their best in the general direction of their dreams, putting it all together, and they could not have done a more incredible job. Seeing it the first time, I thought, this could be it. This could be one of the biggest sparks of this, you know, of our lives that will help turn the tides and make people aware of their own majesty and magnificence. But so I can't say that it surprised me, but I can't say either that I knew it would happen, because I just didn't know what the end result as a product would look like until it was done. And at that time, as amazing as it was, you know, I didn't know if that would be what tipped the scales or not, but it sure seems to have done that. And it's been amazing and thrilling to have been a part of it, and to now I've met a good number of the people that were in it, and I know a good number of the people behind the scenes, and seeing the whole thing come together, as Rhonda says, she used The Secret to make The Secret. She had an end result. She moved in the general direction, you know. It's just magical, magical. And it's so fun to be in audiences that are waking up to this and appreciative of it, because it resonates with people, because it's, in my opinion, truth. And so that's why it's created such a tidal wave of awakening, because it's truth.
And how has it impacted you personally?
Well, I guess, how has the movie impacted me? Well, it's, you know, I've been living The Secret, if you will, I call it Thoughts Become Things, you know, for 20 years, since I was 20. So, and that has, you know, totally, totally changed my life and made it an awesome adventure. But as for the movie itself and my role in it, you know, I guess, obviously, it's created a much higher awareness in people of not only what I talk about, but who I am. So now I'm recognized for the first time in airports and stores and stuff like that, just because of the secret, and even, you know, as little as my part was in it. And so it's increased the size of my audiences. It's raised awareness of truth, of what I talk about. It's therefore improved receptivity to people who perhaps would not have been receptive to the things I teach. And it's just been nonstop fun, you know. The phone never stops ringing, the interview requests, speaking invitations, joint venture requests. It's just I can't even read them all. There's so many. So it's been nonstop fun.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so grateful that you've had the time to talk to us today, Mike. And we've got 30 seconds at the top of the hour. Have you got anything that you'd like to already?
Sure. Well, TUT.com is where I send out my daily notes from the universe. And the entire month of September, we're celebrating our 7th anniversary. We've sent over 115 million notes from the universe. There's a Hawaiian cruise giveaway. There's lots of free books. We're celebrating Simon & Schuster's release of the Notes from the Universe book. And there's contests and galore. Virtually, it's all free at TUT.com the month of September.
Great stuff. And we've got it linked off from our site, newsforthesoul.com, right where your interview, which will be archived forevermore for people to hear in the News for the Soul archive. Thank you, Mike Dooley, for being on News for the Soul today.
Thank you, Nicole, for making it possible.
Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Raja of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to News for the Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all News for the Soul listeners. Satyan says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them News for the Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com. Joe Dunning is a most unusual spiritual teacher and healer. After working with Joe, many people experience profound physical healing or find that they're finally free from the pain from past traumas and abuse. And now you can have a direct experience with Joe Dunning yourself for free. On the last Tuesday of every month, News for the Soul listeners can take part in Joe Dunning's free monthly teleconference event. Go to joedunning.com now to find out more. That's joedunning.com.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness and have kept all of our shows all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com. where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time, and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.